In the name of the one holy and living God. Amen. Thank God for Mary. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, she could not sleep. The last 2 days were almost too much for Mary to bear. She had seen her teacher, her rabbi, her friend die like a common criminal on a cross. All she could do was stand helplessly by. What made it worse was that she couldn't even give him a proper burial. She couldn't do the familiar rituals, say the familiar prayers, anoint the body of the one she loved, because there was no time. She stood from afar as they took his body away. But she knew the garden. She knew the place where he was put to rest. And Saturday was brutal, even though they celebrated Passover. All she could do was reflect, to look back, think of all the ways her life has been, and all the prayers that she had said, and all the time that she had spent with Jesus. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, she got up, wide awake, worry racing through her mind. Sleep was not a friend. So she went to the tomb to pray, to anoint, to bargain with God. The garden that morning had the nerve to actually bloom. The flowers had the audacity to blossom despite the pain and the loss that she and so many others felt. She finds the tomb open and empty, and she runs to Simon Peter and the other disciple and frantically says, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have taken him." All she can do. All she can do is stand alone in the garden. And then the voice of an angel, "Why are you weeping?" Even in the presence of two angels, they cannot break through the grief and heartache that she feels. "They have taken him," is all that she can mutter. "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" "Ah, the gardener. He will know. He will know what they did with Jesus' body." "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Mary, that voice, the familiar voice of the impossible. "How can this be? This is not possible. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. The voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other is ever known." Early on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene expected to find death, but instead she found new life. Today we find ourselves like Mary Magdalene, gathering at the tomb. Great cathedrals and small rural churches stand empty today across the world. There is pain and anguish and fear and uncertainty and death. The world has changed. COVID-19, a word unknown a few short months ago, has become a household name. We have changed. Hear of the rising death toll, of the hardship, the pain. This global Good Friday has reminded us that some of the things that we had put our hopes and trust in were nothing but illusion. And yet, the garden still blooms today. The daffodils and the violets, the cherry blossoms and the budding oak, all around us spring, the season of new life, of new hope. Life breaks through all around us. It's signs of resurrection. Our churches may be empty, but the grand temple of nature is bedecked in splendor. No cathedral, no church, no community could ever compare to the glory that breaks forth in the midst of pandemic, because God is in the business of resurrection. Early in the morning, While the world is still in darkness, God is at work. We who follow Jesus are called to practice resurrection, to live resurrection. Our theology and our rituals, our prayers and the things we do, Christ himself, are all now embodied and made real today in each and every single one of us, no matter where we may be. We are that Easter people living and loving in a Good Friday world, and the world needs to see and know that resurrection is possible and is here. Earlier this week, my family and I went for a walk around our neighborhood. Something was different about the neighborhood this week. Almost all the sidewalks had art, chalk drawings. People had painted all kinds of things, from Winnie the Pooh to stick figures and all kinds of cheery signs. One of the signs that stood out for me was a sign that was clearly done by a small child that said, "Kindness is contagious too." And of course, contagious was spelled wrong, but that's okay. A reminder for me that even in the midst of pandemic, God is still at work, and that we are called to continue to practice resurrection. We're called to see in the farm workers and the grocery store attendants, the doctors and nurses, the undertakers, and all of those who are putting their lives in danger so that we can be saved, that in them we see resurrection and we practice resurrection. In Jesus' resurrection, God finds us when we are down and out, when we are at the end of our rope, when hope seems lost, and God rolls back the stones that bind us and confines us. God stands with us and with that familiar voice that calls us always to new life, that calls us to go and tell, go and bear witness to a God who loves and is in love, resurrection. Because resurrection has no meaning, no purpose, no place, unless, like Mary Magdalene, we go and tell it. Unless we go and live it. Unless, like Mary Magdalene, we go and practice resurrection. Resurrection has no meaning if we cannot share the good news of Easter to a world living in a global Good Friday. Resurrection has no meaning unless we are willing to live as Easter people, knowing that God is not done with us yet. We must learn again to sing the song, that old song that our grandmothers and our grandfathers taught us, where we sing, "I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever they may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives salvation to impart. You may ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He lives within your heart. He lives within each and every single one of us who get up every morning and practice resurrection. Because despair will not get the last word, because we are not alone, even if we are physically distant. Fear does not get the last word, because in Christ Jesus, we know that love casts out fear. COVID-19 does not get the last word, because our God is a God who, while it is still dark, brings resurrection and a new life. Death does not get the last word, because in the darkness, God is working to bring resurrection, to bring hope, to bring light, and to bring love. My sisters and brothers, you and I, we are called to practice being witnesses to resurrection in a world clinging and living through Good Friday. This Easter, may you open your whole self, heart, soul, mind, and strength to God's inspiring call to new life and renewed love. May you feel God luring you, prompting you, goading you, cajoling you, calling you, and encouraging you each day in each new present moment. Practice resurrection. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You may ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Practice resurrection. Practice resurrection. Practice resurrection. Alleluia. Amen.